Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Richard Geiger, Ken Seymour, hunting down the best films and reviewing them for you.
We are going out into the vast array of the Netflix, not jungle, not jungle.
Savannah, right?
Savannah, yes. Getting attacked, ransacked, if you will, by somewhat wild creatures. Sure, yeah.
So
trained?
I'm imagining this as like one of those pommel horse things. You know, you're running at it and you're going for the thing, and the hands hit and you go up, but you overestimated and you're kind of like over flipping, just like almost there. Face plant.
Or your toe gets caught on the handles.
Oh, that's the best part. This is what you get from our show. We don't practice ahead of time. Practicing is for the weak. We are strong. We are strong hunters.
Yes. Or we are, you know, we're chameleons because we act like we're, you know, doing the thing, but when reality, we're just fooling everybody.
That's right. We're just fooling around. All right. If you couldn't tell by now, we are obviously doing a long overdue movie review of Kraven the Hunter by Sony Studios, which neither of us felt enough energy to go out into the theater to see when it was out. But it's on Netflix now, and so we knew we'd eventually get around to it. And now is that time. Ah, so
we usually give a little heads up to everybody, a little spoiler free chitty chat.
Right. And before we get into that, the spoilery stuff in general, now that you've seen it, was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
So I guess from the trailers, I didn't think it was going to be that bad. Now the reviews are a good guideline to an extent, and
right.
Everybody reviewed this just kind of trashed it, right? And then the box office results kind of echoed that sentiment that it was bad. But I went into it with moderate expectations, honestly, and I always love that when you can go into a movie with little to no expectations, no matter what is going to happen. You're going to come out probably ahead of what you thought. So was it as bad as what I thought it was? No. Was it as good as it should have been?
No.
It was fine.
I have to kind of echo those sentiments because, you know, it's Sony Studios, which means they already have one foot straight up their nether regions in how they're approaching this whole set of films, trying to come up with Spider-Man villains for a Sinister Six team-up, anti-Avengers sort of a thing, all based on, you know, the one hero, and never having anything to do with the hero is one of the dumbest ideas that anybody in a power suit has ever had. So you knew it couldn't be perfect or even likely very good, especially considering all of the films that we've seen them put out so far having been just generally bad. But again, like you said, it's okay. It's a solid watch. I'm not sad that I watched it. I actually might have enjoyed it more in the theater.
So, you know, there's a modest argument that this might be one of the best Sony Spider-Verse, whatever you want to call it, films, honestly.
I think so. I really do. Well, let's get into the nitpicky then. For those of you that are new to our podcast, we use a completely scientific approach, sort of, not really. It looks scientific. It looks like we know what we're doing.
It has numbers.
It has numbers, and the numbers add up to 100 if the movie is perfect. It can be 0 if it's just the worst thing ever, like they gave it a name but nothing else. And so you went to the theater, and they turned on, and they turned off, and it was just done. But normally you'll have an array of different scores that it could be based on subcategories that we will scrutinize and nitpick based on the cast, the director, costuming and props, the location, the score, cinematography, and plot and writing. And then bonus points, should we feel that we want it? So let's get right into the meat of this, the thicket.
If you ever watched the, was it the Backyardigans? They had a song that was like, into the thick of it. Trust me. Yep. People listening will know what that is.
Yeah, people with kids anyway. Yep. Well, let's start simple. I always like to start with the low point categories. And we'll start with one that I tend to prefer to start with. Let's start with the score, since we're music nerds to a certain extent, and we like our films to have a little something to them that helps to make everything better, kind of tie things together, give us a better idea of the emotion of the scene, but not get in the way. Sometimes have a little pop culture goodness. Craven, kind of, okay, sort of. It didn't get in the way.
Yeah, I'll buy that. We did a review recently on just a banger of a movie by Jason Statham called The Beekeeper. And instantly the score was annoying in that movie. But you know what? I never noticed that in here. And aside from that, there were, you know, action sequences and chase sequences and stuff like that. I thought the score kind of just added what it needed to the background of all of those kind of intricate little pieces.
Yeah. Amusingly, the movie had the hymn to the Red October in it briefly, which is just, like I said, amusing, just a little funny. I didn't notice it listening through it because, I mean, the Red October is fun, but it's not like one of my favorite films of all time. But it's like, okay, of course, it's got the Russians in it, so there must be a Russian reference sort of a thing. I wanted the music to be a little more gutsy. It felt like it was just kind of meh. There were a couple of scenes where I would have liked like a swell of something. Maybe the mix was off for me. I watched this in my new media room, and I'm still kind of tinkering with the sound. So this could be that I have the settings wrong. But it just, when the music was there, it was just kind of flat, and it didn't really do anything. Like I said, it didn't get in the way, which is more important. But it also didn't make me... It had one note. There was not, oh, here's the point where we're supposed to be feeling sad. Here's the point where we're supposed to be, you know, angry. This is the fun one. No, it just had, here's the serious one. That's all it had.
Yes, a lot of preening and seriousness from the, you know, the face on screen for sure. Yeah. But I watch mine as much as I can at home. I'll watch the things that we do reviews on with headphones. So I'll get, you know, as decent of sound as you can get. And you know, there are times when I notice differences where I don't want to wear headphones and no one's home. So I'll just crank up the sound on everything. And honestly, the headphones are just so much better because you get so much of the smaller sounds,
right? Like
things that you wouldn't necessarily pick up through a sound system unless you have, you know, a lot of money into the sound system and multiple speakers everywhere,
right?
Which someday, but honestly, sitting on a couch having a decent set of headphones where you can get some type of surround sound and you pick up all the stuff. So I felt like I got more of the all around feel of the sound. You know, we're talking about the score, of course, but any of the little stabbing sounds and running on buildings,
right?
You know, things falling. Honestly, it sounded pretty good. You know, like this isn't going to be something that's a deal breaker by any stretch of the imagination, but really, I'll reiterate this. The score can be super distracting of how annoying and fake and, you know, canned music it is. But this wasn't it. And I just felt it matched. You know, nothing crazy.
All right. So out of a score of 10, what did you give it?
I believe I had an 8.
I gave it a 7. Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
So into another of those categories where we tend to get some small pointage, we go into costuming and props, including all of the CGI moments that might come along with that. Costuming is important for Craven. Craven's got a lot of style.
Yeah, so you know, maybe it's the Aaron Taylor Johnson, you know, the fact that I think he's dope.
Yeah.
Of course, in this movie, he's just ripped.
That's ridiculous. It's like that, a 20-pack? Jeez, oh, Pete, man.
Just ripped. He's got the long, luscious, flowing hair, the thick beard. I mean, I don't know what you want from a Craven character to look like, but
that was actually pretty perfect casting.
Pretty good to me. You know, all the stylized little vests that he would wear and like the ruggedized pants and whatever. But, you know, there was a time where he had a suit on and the suit was, you know, pulled it from his brother's closet. Yeah, this is too big, but tailored right. Perfectly. Right. so like those little instances of things looked fine. And, you know, let's be honest, if you know anything about the character, which I know very little about it, you were looking for that plume on the vest, right? You were looking for that gigantic
right.
collar.
Or an adaptation that would at least affect that.
Yep. And we were treated with that at the end. And I thought that looked great. The chameleon character
looked awesome.
Actually looked great. Right.
Surprised. So surprised.
For as cheesy as the Rhino character looked and how they had presented us with the Rhino character, which is not like what we would maybe
normally expect
to see.
Right.
Not that
their interpretation was bad. We'll get to that, but
yes, that's a different thing. But the look of it itself was fine. It's just the CGI was meh,
a little subpar. Right?
So like I'll separate those two.
Yeah. The weapons were nice.
The weapons were cool. You know, the knives and the, you know, the bad guys had some guns and there was a big old fat crossbow in there and.
A lot of different blade types and a lot of really neat stuff.
Yeah, so I didn't really have any issues with those. Everything was pretty sharp to me.
Yeah, I mean it was about as good as I could have wanted it. Not only was, with the exception of the CGI, you know, disappointment on the Rhino, the thing that struck me is there was a lot of variety. I mean, considering, you know, what I was expecting, because you got the normal mobster stuff, you got the big game hunter stuff, you got the suits, you got the cops, you got the prisoner stuff, you've got the superhero kind of affair kind of things. There's actually quite a bit of, like I said, quite a bit of variety. And, yeah, I thought it was pretty solid all around. For me, that's a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I think the 9 is fair. I probably should have given it a 9, too, but I have 8.
Similarly, we got treated to a lot of locations. That was not just a lot of locations, but actually some solidly designed locations. That location in the middle of nowhere that he takes from the ruins that he finds it in to his base of location, that was slick.
Yeah, it looked nice. It had... My only complaint about it was she quickly found the button and she pushed the button. Like, ooh, what's this? Let's push it. Of course you'd do that. And then the, like, so this would be the part with the, cheesy music and sound effects, like,
right.
Like all the weapons wouldn't just drop all at once. Let's do them one shelf at a time.
So we can pan with the camera.
Like, okay.
I'm sorry. It's a trope, but it's a fun one, because if you actually had them all drop at the same time, that would be really awkward.
But then, like, everybody comes to kill them, and then they got to hit the button again. Like, I guess we just pushed all the shelves back up, and then now they all came back down, and then there's the weapons again.
So, there you go.
Whatever.
You got to have the fun bits. But the ridiculous mansion was just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The prison looked good. The high-rise law firm was solid. I mean, just all around, just like I said, a lot of nice locations, and just they looked really good.
Yeah, the loft looked like a rich person's loft. We call it jazz bar restaurant. Yeah,
that was a nice looking bar.
Looked good. I like the shots, the scenic shots of the land when they were in Russia. You know, the grasslands with the mountainous backgrounds, that looked sharp. The rhino's lair, whatever, was
kind of meh.
Meh.
Maybe the only downside. It's like they couldn't figure out what theme they wanted him to have.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we're out of time and money, so here's what we've got left over.
You get a hallway with some glass things.
That's right. So I mean, again, I really enjoyed the locations. That could, with the exception of that little misstep there, couldn't have gotten much better. Not really. That's 9 out of 10 for me on that too.
I could have gone with a 9. I did 8, so not too bad.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into something a little more. Let's talk about the casting. We were both talking, well, just a moment ago, about being fans of Aaron Taylor Johnson to begin with. He's obviously got to carry this whole thing, but they gave him a little bit of help. They got some star power and a looked like a somewhat chubby Russell Crowe.
Yeah, he's kind of looked like that lately, but that's okay. I mean, he's
had plenty of time where he had to be on it. It's like, let him relax a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we know Russell Crowe's a good actor.
Yep.
And something like this, let's be honest, it might be below him a little bit, but I think he's okay with doing things like this now, right? Because he did Thor.
Right.
Right. When he was in Thor, he was Zeus, and that's a real cheesy character, so he can ham it up a little bit in that. And that's not what you get out of this character. There's definitely a serious tone the whole time, but it's not like he mailed it in on this. I thought he did really well.
His acting was fine. I was just talking about the look.
Oh, well, for sure. But I kind of think in some of these movies, you wonder if they just, you know, take it for the money, you know. Harrison Ford, you gonna really give it your all, or are you gonna give it what you're
right
given and be done with it?
Well, I feel like he would have known. It's like, oh, it's a superhero film. Okay, Sony, you say. Oh, how much? All right, fine.
Okay, we'll yes, please.
I wonder how close to the conversation that was. Would you like to research the character? No, I don't think I need to. What is he? Russian mob boss. Fine, I can do that.
I can pull that off.
Oh, man. Now, that's the named people that I was really familiar with, but I was pleasantly surprised by several of the other actors and actresses that were involved with it. I thought that Ariana DeBose, I'll go with DeBose. DeBose. She did pretty well as Calypso. That was really going to be, both from the writing standpoint and the acting standpoint, the biggest place to just trip over and fall on your face for this film. Because if you know that character from the comics, the origin of it is insane. And there was absolutely no way that they could have made that the way it was from the comics. Could not keep it that way. So it's like, what are they going to do with that, if anything? I thought they were just going to leave Calypso out. And they didn't. And, you know, she did a good job.
Yeah, once we get to the plot, I'd like to go over all these.
Oh, yeah.
The characters, just to get a better feel on them. And I know that, I mean, the Craven character on its own, how they presented it to us, is the hero, right?
Right.
In this show. And Calypso is like a hero. So not a hero, but like doing good things. So another subject. I'm just curious about that. But I thought she was good in the picture show. And you're right. I don't necessarily recognize a lot of the names. I recognize the faces. But it's more like, where have I seen some of these other people before?
Yeah. And they've been around in a variety of different things. Some of them, I'm kind of surprised. The guy that played the Foreigner is in that new Wolfman film. I've seen several of these individuals and I'm just not as familiar with them. So in a way, it's kind of like being pleasantly surprised. It's like Fred Hechinger for Dimitri. He kind of knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, you're getting contrasting styles to an extent,
right?
Between all three of those family members,
right?
Right, and so I thought they all played well together in those contrasting styles.
Absolutely. Alessandro Nivola as the Rhino, I feel, was kind of
like the weak spot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He was, I don't know him again. I don't know him all that well from other things, but it's like they, whether it's his approach to it or whether what they told him, it's like, you're going to play a villain. And he's kind of got this weakness and this complex. But also, you need to try him, make him relatable, but don't make him too relatable, because then he can't really be the villain. And it's like he didn't know where to land on that spectrum.
Yeah, and I don't know what the accent was.
Yeah, I have no idea what that was.
And when you first were introduced to him when they're doing the safari or the hunt for the lion, right? And he has long hair. And I'm like, is he supposed to be a nerd character? Is he supposed to be like I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know. Like, I knew, like, oh, we'll probably see that person later because of how he got shunned by asking the question.
Right.
And of course, you got pouty face because of it. But
I would like you to be my partner.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it was supposed to be that same Russian accent, but
he only had one day to practice it.
Correct. It was weird. I don't know. I don't know what region you could say he was from.
Yeah, he's from the Lower Saskatchewan region of Russia.
Exactly.
So in terms of the casting, I thought it was not too bad. I mean, we didn't get a lot of star power. We got basically two people. But the people they got did pretty well. Just trying to think of it from terms like, is this enough to get me to come want to see the film? Now, if I wasn't an Aaron Taylor Johnson fan or a comic book fan, it's like, no, no, I would never have watched this film in a million years. Now, because I am both of those things, I did and was, you know, pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the casting is kind of, it's I've seen better. Is basically where I'm going. They did good, but it's not like we're watching an MCU film in general. It's not like we're watching a top tier Hollywood thing. It's solid, but not great.
Yeah, I just found that the Rhino was the obvious weak spot in the main characters, and the young Calypso grandma scene.
That was a little weak.
That was not great.
I felt that was more writing than the actress, but she still felt like phoning in. What was the name of that one phone psychic? Call me now.
Exactly.
It's like, hold on.
but in terms of performance, like even the throwaway bad guys were fine.
Right.
Right. I kind of thought that even those guys who, you know, are just there to get
killed,
stabbed in the face, or, you know, be menacing for a minute were fine.
Yeah. All right. So for out of 20, what would you give that? Good, sir.
I actually, I have an 18 for the cast.
I gave that one a 15.
Aaron carries a lot of weight.
Yes, he does. Director. Let's talk about the director, Mr. J.C. Chander. You might know J.C. Chander probably from nothing. I don't know if you would know him from really anything. All Is Lost, I guess, or Margin Call. A Most Violent Year. I didn't watch any of those.
I've seen Triple Frontier.
Yeah.
It's a Netflix movie. And that one was fine.
So in one way, going into it with a clean slate is kind of nice. But then that also gets me kind of nervous. It's like, okay, that means that the studio is going to have all of the control and they're going to ruin it in their own special way. But he did all right. He didn't amaze me in any stretch of the imaginations. You're talking about how well the actors that played the Craven family worked together. I mean, that was solid, but I didn't get a whole lot of chemistry from anybody else, which
yeah, and I felt like sometimes you'd have people interacting and you have a scene and it's nice, and then it like the pacing and the timing on things just seemed off.
There's really weird cuts in several places, scenes that lasted a little too long. Scenes that should have been dropped on the floor, like the one of the ones that made it into the stupid commercial, where he's trying to, he's coming back from his walk and he's getting into the elevator and the guy won't hold it for him, so he throws his knife into the button. That should have been edited out, because by that point we already know he's a badass. He's already shown it, and the dialogue is crap. And this is my knife. It's the knife I use when I hunt people. Well, sure. Great.
Yeah, what benefit did that give to the movie?
Yeah, it was just, it, like I said, it should have been edited out. It was just unnecessary.
I think you could see... And I didn't even know that was in the commercial until after I watched the movie, and then I somehow saw a commercial for it that showed that scene. I was like, why are you highlighting? Okay, whatever. And when he walked in the door and the person said, and he said, hold the elevator, the person just ignored him. I was just like, okay, what cheesy little thing are they going to do here to have him get on the elevator, because I'd never seen that part of the commercial.
So here's, let me rewrite the scene, and I'm going to do this in 2 seconds, and it will be 10 times better than what they did. He still's walking from the park to the thing. He's very far away. He sees the guy get in there and asks him to hold the door. The guy doesn't hold the door. Now, we cut to an interior shot of the elevator. As the doors are closing, you see him all the way over there. The doors close almost, and all of a sudden, his hand is there, showing how fast he gets from point A to point B. And then there's no dialogue in the elevator. He just stands there and looks at him for a moment or two as he cowers. Done. Shorter scene, better usage of powers, and much funnier than the crap that they put in there.
Yeah. It was more like a Crocodile Dundee, you know, like, this is my knife.
Right. That's the reason I did the Australian, because that's the only thing I could think of. It's like, oh, yeah, we don't know what we're doing right now, but I love that movie. And so whatever. And I went to a Cockney accent summaries, and I don't know why I did that, but I lost it. I had the Australian, and it was gone. That's why I'm not an actor. Well, one of the many reasons. But, yeah, so there were a lot of weird edits, a lot of bad pacing, some of the inter-actor gel just didn't feel like it was there. That to me doesn't show. I mean, obviously we mix editing and directing into the same kind of thing, but ultimately buck stops at the director, and that was just not great.
Yeah, that, you know, there's the sequence when the Rhino character is meeting the bosses. Now that the main bad guy is dead, and he's like, who's gonna work with me, you know? And then it just is that sequence there meant to like shock you, or is that there to like show the power? I just didn't get the emotion out of that one that I felt like, because all the other henchmen guys just kind of stood there, and there should have been like a better dialogue or a better either scared or like not scared, you know, something. Just like there should have been more tension in that scene.
Right. All right. Out of 15, what'd you give them?
Because the movie, I'm weighing this because I want to affect how my score works. Because the movie is arguably one of the best Sony Spider-Verse movies, I gave it a 9.
Try again. You gave it an 8.
The director?
Yeah, you gave the director an 8.
Would you like to change? I did give the director an 8. Yes, I'm thinking of something else.
I gave the director a 9.
Because, I mean, let's be honest, it could be a lot lower.
Yeah, yeah. There were more things. I mean, well, he would have had to ruin some more stuff to really start getting that lower score, I think. But also didn't show really any flair for how to take care of stuff. Anyway, that was that category. We're moving on to cinematography. Now, obviously, this includes the standard filming, but also the CGI stuff that is with it. Since this is like a combat heavy movie, let's start with the choreography of the fights. I figured that they would be uninteresting and not terribly great. A lot of times, for some reason, Sony likes to have these filmed in such low lighting conditions that you can't see what's happening. We didn't get that. At least I didn't feel like we did. I thought the fight scenes were actually pretty good, and sometimes fairly, they had a couple of neat ideas that they popped in that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, snapping necks and writing checks. Right. So like when I, when he went into the in the prison, and he was on the tiger cloth, and you know, you could see him grabbing the tooth. I was like, okay, this makes sense.
All right.
Because that's what he is. He's this movie just started. He's the hunter.
Right.
And then he goes and stabs the dudes and like just like tears him up and then stabs the bad guy in the neck. And I was just like, I'm like, okay, like, cool. Like, yes.
Way
okay,
to start. Yeah.
That's solid. Let's do this, you know, snapping knees and, you know, stabbing people and slitting throats and just doing all the stuff. So you're right. A lot of the stuff, you can compensate for bad choreography or like bad training,
right,
with quick cuts, or you can accent and make things look quicker than what they are with the quick cuts. And I really think that the choreography training in this for everybody was on point.
Yeah. Looked good.
If there were flaws, they were well hidden. And yeah. The Calypso character, she didn't really have to do anything, no. Right?
She just had to show that she could use a bow in one scene, and then all of a sudden an arrow hits from off screen. So she didn't have to be shown using the bow.
Correct. Okay, great. The Foreigner.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about that, the character as presented in this story, was he didn't have to really do anything because the people were already, you know, like, mildly hypnotized.
Right.
So all he had to do was just, you know, stab somebody or do a little maneuver. Like, he didn't have to do anything.
Their methodology for doing that, the little kind of fade thing they did, and then playing with it, the counting down, that worked. I thought it could have been cheesy. It's like, no, actually, I like that, to kind of give a sense of consistency, to kind of tell the audience how long he can do this. And then show that it stays the same. Okay, it's like, all right, it's a little different from the comics, but acceptable.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I think the biggest issue I had, the leopard, the tiger, the giant cat that he fought with towards the end of the film, I remember seeing that as a pup, and I thought the CGI on that was a little weak.
I thought overall, certain things from a CGI standpoint, and there's many of those things, like when he's jumping on the building, like climbing up the building,
right?
Initially that really looks like him, but as he gets up and further away,
that didn't look good.
When he was jumping down to get down and hurry to get to his brother, not great. You're right, the white tiger,
right,
or whatever fight was, that tiger was not
the
great.
Lion looked fine, but the tiger didn't.
I don't even think the lion looked better than the tiger, but
right,
I don't think the lion looked
well
great.
I think the reason that the lion looked better is, with the exception of him sinking his teeth into Craven at the beginning, there wasn't like a fight scene. It was less of it. So maybe that's why it seemed better, because I didn't have to deal with it for as long.
That's true. And the
snowstorm was good. The buffalo, I thought, were fine.
And the rhino character,
mostly okay.
You know, it's just, I mean, it's its own thing.
Yeah.
But I think when they put more money and effort into certain screens or certain shots than others,
you
so
could
they
tell what
up
they
in
focused
some,
on, like his eyes and the whole little sight thing, where he'd see something that's a little farther away. That was slick.
Mm-hmm. His glowing eyes as he hid in the corner.
All right.
So, if you look at the cinematography stuff from the choreography and the fights, and you look at it from the CGI, and you look at it from the cuts and the sequences. Well, we've already put the cuts and the sequences and the timing being off more on the director piece than in the cinematography piece, right? But it's still cinematography.
Right.
And the color and everything, I thought the color, like you mentioned, it wasn't too dark. I thought the color looked pretty good.
I could always tell what was going on.
The weakest spot in the things that we tend to pay attention to in cinematography was the CGI.
Right. And I wager they probably just didn't have enough time to give it as much polish as they wanted to, if I had to guess. Because even the things that were weaker is like, oh, I see where they're going with this. It just doesn't seem finished.
Ran out of money.
Yeah. But the framing was good. Everything else seemed pretty solid. I'm pretty happy with the cinematography. I'm talk with words. I'm pretty happy with the cinematography in this one. I'd give it a 13 out of 15.
Let's keep it average. 11.
Not too shabby. All right. The make or break category, plot and writing, as always. This is the thing that is key. And this film is so weird in this, because usually when you watch something, it's kind of uniformly bad when it's bad and uniformly good when it's good. It's not the case, I didn't feel, with this one. I felt that they dealt with certain things really, really well and then just didn't care about anything else.
Yes, yes. And maybe that was tied into my perception on timing on things too, because like you'd be drawn into a sequence and drawn into a thing and drawn into this, like, yeah, that was good. Oh, nice. What did I just Okay, now we're back to some even. So yeah, you just got that. You didn't get the, there's always the good bits of good broken up with the, come on, Brad. Like,
yeah, seriously, what are you doing here? It's like, I know you're trying to, for example, build in the whole link to Spider-Man. So, oh, of course, when he gets the fear, it's going to be the spiders. But that still doesn't make any sense. So that when he runs into Spider-Man the first time, the guy wearing the giant red and blue suit that has one tiny little spider on his chest, I'm going to be afraid of that. No, that makes zero sense. It's just kind of, okay. I mean, for the most part, the characters, the character design, the character implementation and history was good.
It was good for this story.
For this story.
Right. So, you know, we've figured out that the dad is the boss. We're going to say mafia boss. We're going to say Russian mafia boss. We're going to say something.
Right.
Although we don't really get any information on what he is or what he does. We just know that he's a bad guy and kind of treats his sons like
a bad guy would.
Like a bad guy would, but like,
but he loves them.
Doesn't physically abuse them, just isn't the loving father. And one is the son. Like we get the off kilter type of information, but not the direct information. But as long as we get it, that's fine. We don't need flashbacks to things. No. That's okay.
It's a very clear Boromir, Faramir kind of thing going on the brothers. And their adaptation of the characters from the comics, I feel like they made in the most parts the changes that they need to update them, to make them more appealing, to make them more believable, to be able to invest in them, because the, you know, original Kraven was kind of silly in a lot of respects. But okay, this is kind of more, you know, kind of more something I can grab onto. I love the Rhino character from the comics. He's one of my favorites because when he's written right, he's so relatable in the sense that he's just stuck. What else am I going to do? I can't get this stupid suit off. And no amount of whatever has been able to help with that. And so I'm just always going to be this, and there's nothing that I can do until I die. I'm always a villain. What else can I do? That that's, and I felt like they took that. It's like, well, instead of making it a suit, because the suit is kind of an antiquated idea, they went with the kind of the mutation. It's like, okay, sure. And so it stuck to him in a different way. And giving him a way to still look human so that they could keep the cost, the budget down. It's like
smart.
Okay, I can get behind that. But when it was the Rhino, he was a little small. Rhino's a bit bigger than that. I feel like he could have added like another 3-4 feet to his height.
And the fact that he still had the little hole on the side of his body.
Right. That's, well, you know, you've got to have somewhere to shoot the torpedo to destroy the Death Star. It's just kind of...
Well, because they seemed... So, like, that whole sequence, they seemed to make him, like, ultra impervious, right? We saw he got shot before and didn't do anything. He just basically stuck his head down into the gigantic truck that was driving at him, and he just, like, picked it up and flipped it. Then he went and picked up a truck.
And, which is and good. Threw it.
And, but then he gets caught up in, like,
a little rope.
Yes, a rope that gets flung around him, and it gets hooked onto a buffalo and gets dragged along. Like, yeah, I don't think so. From what you just showed me.
That would just... make him angry.
Sure. And then he gets trampled by the buffalo and he's dead.
Yeah. Something slightly off there. But, well, I mean, that's part of the problem. You're going to put a guy that can bench 80 tons in the comics and is basically invulnerable up against Kraven, which, don't get me wrong, Kraven's formidable, but he would need some time. He would need a plan of attack. He would need some poisons, some gas, something to really make that work. And maybe they just didn't want him to go out like that and whatever. But okay, so basically the characters are good. The dialogue, pretty much throughout the whole film was just awful.
Yeah, I don't. Some of the stuff got a little twisted up there with who was doing what for who.
Right.
You know, I followed it along, but I was just like, you know, like when the foreigner dude comes to the Rhino's place, and I was like, isn't he the one that hired the foreigner? What am I missing here?
The people that he killed, those were cops. They had badges.
The foreigner, are you talking about? Like in the stairway?
When he was looking at the after effect of the missile attack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those were, but like, who hired him? Because he shot the missile.
Rhino.
Yeah, so like when he went to the Rhino's lair afterwards, it was like, it's like they'd never met or didn't know who each other were or like what was going on.
He was just messing with them because he could.
Yeah. So like it was weird. And I know like that he was just messing with them, but the way they interacted, it is almost just like he didn't hire the foreigner, and they knew of each other, but had never interacted before
or had.
So like the whole interaction was just,
I think it was intended to show that the foreigner didn't respect Rhino. And it's like, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. And you mean very little. You're just kind of a means to an end. And it just didn't come off quite right.
Yeah.
Again, into the writing and directing side of things. I think that's where they were going with it. Cause in the comics, he was kind of a punk and he was like that. So
I had to look it up because I'd never heard of the character. And when they said the foreigner, and then they said the foreigner again, like when you mention it the first time, you're just like, okay, that's just what they kind of refer to him as, right?
Yeah, because he's just not from around here.
Not from around here. But then it's like repeatedly like, okay, let's look it up. And it's like the powers and abilities is like, he's, you know, hand to hand and assassin. And then he's got mild, you know, manipulation. I was like, okay, well, that's what they did. That's what they put on this screen here. It looked like in the comic books he was a little bit more beefy, a little more buff, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a product of comics. I mean, if you can draw a guy with bigger muscles, generally you're going to do that because it's wish fulfillment and all that sort of stuff. But as far as also the actual plot of the story, I was trying to think. It's like, okay, so the dialogue was awful because it's either exposition dumps that were just nobody seemed to get behind, or interpersonal dialogue that wasn't inspired that I've heard 1,000 times, or just things that didn't make any sense. But I was trying to think of the actual plot. It's like, but the actual plot is okay. It's not amazing. But, I mean, as far as like a crime, just taking the comic out of it, taking it from a crime boss drama, guy knows somebody's encroaching. He knows he can't beat them, but he knows his son has the ability to do so, even though he wouldn't, so he'll trick the point A into the point B. Okay, yeah, that's actually a tried and true, it's not super original, but it's a solid basic plot.
Yeah, but his dad was the one that gave him the video footage
so that he would go after him because he knew he wouldn't win. Or at least he didn't think he would.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was obviously the behind-the-scenes stuff. Just not, I don't know, just not put on the forefront, right, in a convincing manner. Let's put it like that. At the end, you weren't, like, shocked by any twists.
No.
But then you were just like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I get it. Whatever.
It's
like,
kind of became a flat action film. It's not going to be, a cerebral sort of a thing. So, combine that with some bad writing or some bad dialogue. I mean, and some maybe misunderstanding of how the characters are supposed to work, even though you got the basics right. I know I got the pieces. I got the pieces painted and shaped and polished perfectly. Now, how do they go together? I don't know how to make them go together.
And that's what I was going to ask. Like, the Calypso character is she a one-time love interest of Kraven?
Yeah,
in the comics?
Very important one, yes.
Okay, so she has the, like, I'll call it voodoo.
She is definitely a voodoo priestess.
Okay, so like her magic potion from grandma is like a real kind of, not maybe the real thing, but like a good avenue for how the characters interacted or became who they are.
Right. So, yeah. And it's just, she dealt with the undead quite a bit. So it's they were straight up villains in the comics. So it's a little different the direction they're going with this, redoing it. But ultimately, it's a long way around getting to the point where you kind of go, eh, it's okay.
Yeah, I really don't know where you're getting at on this, if you're going to develop this into a, you know, a Sinister Six squad.
Right. It's just kind
of... Now, I get one aspect of it, right? Weren't they went to school when they were younger in New York?
Yeah.
So they had ties to New York. Okay, so that gives them an excuse to be back in New York.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the Chameleon is a New York-based crime figure. So, we'll see.
Cool. So is like 30 other people, you know.
It's amazing how many of the heroes and villains decide that either New York or Los Angeles is where they want to be based out of.
Why they don't interact on a normal basis is beyond me. But
well, still, yeah. I'll give it the better than average, or the better than 50% mark. I'll give it a 12 out of 20, but I wouldn't go any higher than that on the plot. It's very forgettable.
I was a little lower. I did 9.
Yeah, that's still within the range of what I could have seen myself giving it. Do you have any bonus points, Richard?
Well, I, you know, once again, for the narrative of the points, but also I gave 1 point for the amount of characters that are thrown at us here that are actual comic book characters with an actual somewhat, you know, base delivered to us. The one character that we haven't even mentioned is they named him by name, Dr. Worrell or whatever his name, but it, like the Jackal.
Right.
Right. And the Jackal is one of those actual real Spider-Man villains that was a scientist that did things and, you know, actually changed himself. So it like the way the Rhino, the way the Chameleon got their abilities are based in a Spider-Man world of reality.
Right.
But the fact that there was the Calypso character and the Foreigner and Rhino and all these things, giving at least some honest, not just outlandish interpretation of all these characters, to me was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you didn't jam us packed with all these different people. Like, you gave them their time when they needed to have their time, or their mention when they needed to have their mention, without shoving it down our throats.
A little sprinkling.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was actually well handled, very well. Well, when you add up our scores, we get a gentleman's 71 for Richard. 71, if you're listening and are not quite sure, is a C minus if you were to turn it in a paper. I gave mine a 74, which is a C. So, average. Not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, if they would have put more of this effort into some of their other movies, maybe they would have made more money. And who knows?
You never can tell. At least we would have been happier with what we got to watch. But yeah. Now, I know that some of you may have been paying attention to our episode calendar and say, hey, I thought this week was going to be initial thoughts on Daredevil Born Again. Well, we put Kraven the Hunter here because we're at one point going to make the Kraven the Hunter episode the joke. It was always going to be far off in the distance because we both thought that was going to be pretty bad. And so if we never watched it, it was not going to be a big deal. But they put it on Netflix and we watched it and it was okay. It's like, well, we should at least say that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move things around. And we'll get to the Daredevil stuff next week. That'll give us a chance to have one more episode and maybe learn a little more about the main villain. Well, one of the main villains that they've got in there that they've only just hinted at. But that will be next week. We'll talk about some Daredevil goodness.
After that, maybe the Penguin?
That may become our new. I swear it's going to happen maybe someday. I still haven't watched a single episode.
One was enough. I'm good.
I want to. I like Colin Farrell, but I just like, I got a lot of stuff to do. I don't have time to do everything, and that's just not high on my priority list.
No.
Yeah. But what do you think, folks? Did you like Kraven? Dislike Kraven? Even realize it was on streaming? Are you happy that we reviewed it? Are you satisfied that the Penguin will be our new joke upcoming episode that we're probably never going to get to? Are you one of the ones that watched it and gave it great ratings?
Yeah, like 90s across the board.
Right. But just let us know. Of course, we are available on social media, at least for as long as our infrastructure holds up within the United States. And our friends that are less friendly to us now because of multiple things.
How long our sanity holds in there.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But we love you folks. Be safe out there. Enjoy yourselves. Try and spread some love to the people around you. And we'll see you next week.